Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper, a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church in Lebanon, Virginia. And we are so thankful that you've taken the time to join us on this Memorial Day weekend. Family and friends, Memorial Day reminds us that wars have been fought and won, but Memorial Day also reminds us that wars don't come without a cost. War carries with it great mental and physical anguish to those who have been engaged in it. War brings great stress and tremendous emotional toll on the families of all who have served in it. In wars and enemies come in all sizes. In fact, I read recently about a man who backed out of his driveway in his shiny brand new Cadillac. He was headed for the freeway. He was busily shaving himself, as was his custom, as he made his way to his office, when witnesses say that he suddenly reached up behind his neck and slumped over the wheel. The car then swerved and went into a culvert, killing the man. His car was completely demolished, and as you might imagine, an autopsy was ordered, and as they began putting the details together, a keen-thinking doctor noticed a small pinprick behind the man's ear. Apparently, a wasp had flown in the window and stung him, temporarily paralyzing a particular nerve area and blinding him with pain. He slumped over the wheel, lost control of the car, and then died. Now, normally a grown man with a normal strength can swat a little wasp, no problem whatsoever. But when the wasp struck its mark, it led to a fatal crash. Now, you might be wondering, why am I sharing this? Because it points to this truth. Life is fragile, both physical life and also spiritual life. And the Bible teaches that our physical life is a vapor, a shadow that passes quickly, and spiritual life is just as fragile if we don't tend to it and care for it. It is just as easy to die in our spiritual life as it is in physical life, especially if we don't take care of our spiritual walk with Christ and instead begin just to take it for granted. Are you aware that neglect could be fatal? Family and friends, wars come with a cost, and sadly few Christians today realize that we're engaged in a spiritual battle, and because that's true, few Christians truly understand we have an enemy who is much stronger than we are. Is it any wonder that Paul wrote to the Roman Christians these words, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our enemy is known to us by many names. He is called the devil, because the devil's name means accuser, and he loves to accuse God's people day and night. He is a tempter, and I'm certain we all know what it means to be tempted. He's our adversary because he is the enemy of God. He's a murderer. He's a liar. He's been characterized in God's word as a roaring lion who prowls around seeking whom he can devour. He is a formidable enemy, but he isn't the Christian's only enemy, because there is also this world system and our own flesh, and these two enemies are opposed to God, because there is always this desire within us to cater to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And we are living today in an America amidst a society that is fallen far away from God. And a society that is far away from God can simply be defined as an enemy, and that enemy is the world. The enemy named the flesh, well, that's our old nature. We inherited that the moment we were born, and that stands opposed to God, and our flesh can do nothing to please Almighty God. It would be truly wonderful if Christians today understood that we're in a spiritual battle and a spiritual war. And it would be truly wonderful if we as Christians understood that we need to be in the Lord's army, clothed in the Lord's armor. And so I want to begin tonight by sharing with you this passage of spiritual armor from Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to begin in verse 10. This is what our Lord writes unto us. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister to the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Well, let me ask you to bow your head with me in prayer tonight. And Father, we just thank you that we can gather here on the Living Faith Television Network, that we can share the word of the Lord. And Father, may your word speak to us tonight. May it encourage our hearts. May it draw us ever nearer to you. Lord, may it be a reminder to us tonight that we need to be clothed in the armor of Almighty God. Lord, speak to our hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it would be wonderful, friends, if we all knew we were in the Lord's army. And you might be thinking, well, what do I mean by the Lord's army? And so, first of all, have you repented of your sin? And if you have and placed your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you were drafted into his army. You enlisted then, so to speak. And now these three enemies that we've mentioned previously, Satan, your flesh, and this world system, stand opposed to you. And I don't know how often you think about these enemies we face, but perhaps because I'm the pastor of a church, and I think about them more often, and the reason that I do is because of the devastating toll these enemies have on the body of Christ. If only these enemies would come to us in the manner of the Osiris prayer, perhaps we wouldn't fail in battle as we oftentimes do. That Irish prayer goes like this: may those that love us, and those who don't love us, may God turn their hearts, and if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles so that we will know them by their limping. A good prayer for sure, but again, God doesn't turn their ankles so that we can know them by their limping. Instead, what God does is give unto you and I the armor we need to battle these enemies that we face. In our text, Paul clearly outlines the armor, this truth for us. We need the power of God to stand against the devil. He's not compared to a lion and a dragon just for fun, friends. The book of Job teaches what his power can do to a man's body, a man's home, a man's wealth, and a man's friends. And as God's children, we cannot afford to be ignorant of his devices. The fact that Paul uses the word wrestle lets us know that we are in a hand-to-hand combat with him on a daily basis. Listen, Christians are not to be spectators at a game, because the Christian life isn't a playground, it is a battleground. And Satan wants to use our external enemy the world system and our internal enemy, our flesh, to defeat and devour us. So when we come to Memorial Day is not only a reminder of those who've served America and kept our freedoms for us, but Memorial Day also is a reminder that the Christian soldier, well, he's still at war. The battle plan of our enemy against us is formidable, and his weapons are mighty, and we're no match for him and stand no chance to defeat our enemies in battle if we do not put on the whole armor of God. We are fighting the enemies in the spirit world, for the Christian life is a spiritual life, and therefore we need equipment both for offense and for defense, and God has provided for us the whole armor. And friend, we dare not omit one part. Our enemies are continually looking for that unguarded area where they can strike. And therefore, God has laid it out for us. He said, put it on, and so that's our choice. We must pick it up, and we must put on the armor of God by faith. You see, we often forget what we need most to remember. If God is for us, who can be against us? And therefore, we must put on the girdle of truth. Listen to me, Satan is a liar. But the believer whose life is controlled by truth can defeat that old liar. Is your life being held together by the girdle of truth? Dear friend, the girdle of truth holds all the other parts of the armor together. And so you and I need to know the truth of God's word, and we need to know the truth, that truth is the integrating force in the life of the victorious Christian. The Christian who is victorious in life is that way because they stand on God's truth. You see, a person of integrity, a person whose conscience is clear, can face the enemy without fear. And it is not just enough for us to know the truth. Friend, you got to practice what you know. Are you a Christian who knows and practices the truth in your daily life? See, if you say you're a Christian, but you do not read the Bible, you cannot practice God's truth simply because you don't know God's truth. Listen to me, there are a lot of believers out there today who are lying to themselves. They think because they prayed to receive salvation, that's all they need, but that's not true at all. Jesus said, those who will go to heaven are those who do the Father's will. No person can claim to know the will of God who does not read and study the Word of God. And friend, if you don't know the will of God, you can't really claim to know the truth of God. And if you don't know the truth of God, you sure can't claim to be practicing God's will in your life. God's word tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So when a believer begins to lie to themselves, things begin to fall apart because things are not right between them and God. You know, King David got caught up in this trap. He thought he was right with God as he walked upon the palace roof, but his heart immediately went to sin when he gazed down from that palace roof, and there he saw a beautiful naked woman bathing. The devil got him to fall with the internal enemy of his flesh, and David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, fell in the battle because he was not wearing the breastplate of righteousness. This piece of armor covers the body from neck to waist, front and back. It symbolizes the believer's righteousness in Christ as well as his righteous life in Christ. Friend, Satan is the accuser, but he cannot accuse the Christian warrior who is living a godly life in the power of the Spirit. Listen to me. The blood of Christ has provided for us a positional righteousness. But without the practical application of God's truth in our daily lives, no man can live a life of practical righteousness. Friend, you need to know this. The life you're living right now is either fortifying you against the devil's attacks, or the life you're living right now has made it very easy for the devil to defeat you. Are you wearing daily the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness? Have you put on the shoes of the gospel of peace? Now, Roman soldiers wore sandals with hobnails in the sole in order to give them better traction, better footing for the battle. Likewise, if we're to stand against our enemies, we must have on the shoes of the gospel, because the gospel brings peace. And we must be at peace with God if we are to defeat the devil. But there's another thing the shoes of the gospel help us do, and that is take God's peace to others. Listen to me, the victorious Christian is a witnessing Christian. And the Bible teaches, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. I'm here today as the pastor of Green Valley Church because, as a child of God, because someone dared enough to care enough to share the word of truth, the gospel of peace, with me. And I repented of my sin, put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I followed him. Friend, we need to take the gospel, and we need to share it, that others can become saved. But then we must also take up the shield of faith. Now, the shield was made of wood and covered with tough leather for a Roman soldier. It was about 2 foot by 4 foot. As the soldier held it before him, he was protected from the spears and the arrows and the fiery darts that the enemy would throw at him. The shields were made so that an entire line of soldiers could interlock their shields together and march into the enemy like a solid wall. This means that we're not to battle alone. We are to ask for and we are to receive help from our brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, the faith mentioned here is not saving faith, but rather living faith. Family and friends, do you have a living faith tonight? A living faith is one that applies and practices God's truth in their daily lives. A living faith trusts in the promises and in the power of God. And the reason I ask the question is because I've met a lot of Christians who don't have a living faith. They just don't apply God's word. They just don't practice God's truth in their daily lives. And so you see, what they're doing is they're living by sight and not by faith, because they don't believe that God has the power to carry out his promises. They don't believe if they find themselves in an impossible situation that their impossible situation is possible for God. And so they live by sight, not by faith. And their lives are oftentimes characterized by disobedience. Listen, you and I never know when the devil will shoot a dart at us. We can't live by circumstance. We've got to live by faith. We can't live by sight. We're called to live by faith, to walk by faith, and to hold up the shield of our faith to protect us from the arrows of our enemies. And then we must put on the helmet of salvation. Now, this helmet refers to a mind controlled by God. Is that how your mind is today? Is your mind controlled by God? Are you being transformed by the Word of God? Do you have the truth of God in your mind, or is your mind filled with something else? You see, the reason I ask is because it's sad that many Christians today have the idea that the mind is not important, Because the reality is the mind is where our intellect is located, and intellect plays a vital role in Christian growth, in Christian service, and in victory. Listen, when God controls our mind, we cannot be led astray. Jesus promised this. He said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." God's truth will hold us, will keep us, and will give us the victory. But God's truth, friend, is the sword of the Spirit. This sword, the truth of God's word, is the offensive weapon that the Lord provides for us. The Roman soldier wore a short sword on his girdle that he used for close-in fighting. Hebrews 4:12 compares the word of God to a sword because it is sharp and able to pierce the inner man just as a material sword pierces the body. To truly know Jesus Christ, there had to have been a time in your life when the word of God pierced your heart, convicted you of your sins, and you made a conscious decision to repent of your sin and to turn to God that you might be saved. Friends, a physical sword grows duller with each use, but the word of God, the sword of the word of God, applied and practiced daily in our life, only grows ever sharper. And when we use the sword of the word of God against our enemies, it cripples them and keeps them from hindering the work of God in our lives. Now don't miss this, because the whole armor of God, you see, is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He is our righteousness. He is our peace. His faithfulness makes possible our faith. He is our salvation. He is the Word of God. And Paul told the Romans and Christians today what to do with the armor. He said, first of all, we are to wake up. Secondly, he said, we are to cast off sin and put on the armor of light. This means that each one of us, we must choose to put on the armor of faith and trust God for the victory. Listen to me. King David, whom I referred to earlier, faced greater danger when he returned to the palace than when he was on the battlefield. Because when he returned to the palace, you see, he took off the armor. Let this truth be a reminder to us that we are never out of reach of the devil's devices. Therefore, we must never be without the whole armor of God. We must keep it on at all times. And what keeps it on us is prayer. How's your prayer life? I want you to know something about prayer. Prayer is the energy that enables the Christian soldier to wear the armor, to wield the sword. This Memorial Day, we need to remember we're in the Lord's army now. And may we pray the soldiers of this army will stand and fight together. As the great Christian hymn says, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before." Look around you tonight, friend. Look around you tonight, Christian soldier. Isn't it great to know you're not alone? It's a great encouragement to be a part of the family of God. Perhaps tonight, as you've listened to this message, your spirit and your soul have been awakened. Perhaps tonight, as you've listened, you've realized that on this Memorial Day weekend, if your life should end tonight, you're not certain you'd be going home. Perhaps tonight there's a gnawing in your heart. You've been convicted. Well, friend, that's the great news, because when you get convicted, you can do something about it. And if you realize tonight you're not saved yet, tonight you can pray to be saved. And the great news is that the cross is like this because God's arms are open wide. He's ready to save at all times. And so if you will sincerely repent of your sin tonight, you can be saved simply by praying this prayer. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Please forgive me for my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins tonight. Would you save me? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight and you prayed it sincerely from your heart, I want you to know, I want you to be assured that God has heard you, that you are saved. Tonight you became a child of the living God. And on your screen right now you will see an email address or telephone number. You email us here at the church. You call us here at the church. Let us know of your decision. We want to get materials into your hands so that we can help you in your walk with Christ. We want to send you a Bible. Tonight, if you need someone to call and talk to you and get back with you, talk with you about your spiritual life, where you are, how you got there, you call and leave a number. Someone will get back to you. Tonight, perhaps you prayed to rededicate your life to Christ. Whatever your decision, you email or you call. Tonight, if you need a Bible, you let us know. Email or call us here at the church. We want to be of service to you. If you have prayer requests or prayer concerns, you let us know. You are important to God, which means you are important to us. And now tonight as we close, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty Father, we thank you again for another wonderful opportunity to share your word with our brothers and sisters all over the world and those who watch here on the Living Faith Network. Father, we pray for your grace and your peace and your mercy, your good hand of goodness to be upon us. And now may the grace and mercy of God make his face to shine upon us both now and forevermore. Amen.